All right, good morning. I'm here with Ryan Dawson, a much awaited podcast, a much demanded cast since the last one we did on the Epstein Files. Initially, this is going to be an Epstein podcast, but the war has happened. We are on day six. It's inevitable that Ryan and I are going to talk about it. So,
Operation Epstein Fury.
Yeah, Operation Epstein Fury, Operation APAC Fury, Operation Epic Furry. You want to call it, like the names are flying around. So it is 9 a.m. on Thursday morning, March 5th, day six of the war. I'm here with Ryan. And so all analysis is as of that time that you're going to hear it. We're going to be, so if you hear this a week, you're like, well, these guys are behind. Like, that's the time it is. So let's start. Now, the audience is fairly caught up on the political situation. I try and do military analysis. I know you're really good at military analysis as well. So just give us a rundown of the military situation as it stands now. You can start on the 28th and then proceed forward.
Just super briefly on the political situation, the U.S. is lying about everything. It was never about a nuclear program. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's standard.
But it is worth noting that under the guise of negotiations, they attacked again.
Yes.
I mean, that's just disgusting.
Yes, it's equivalent of killing under a white flag is what they did. That's how they got the Ayatollah.
Yeah. And I think he knew. He's like, look, if I go out to my house and act as bait.
Yeah.
This is the window. They think, oh, he's above ground. We got him.
So.
And they preempted it. Israelis went and they got him. And that was the dumbest thing. He's an 80-year-old man. He's not like a military strategist or anything. It doesn't really matter war-wise. Unified the country. He is a real martyr.
Yes. This is how in the very literal sense of the term. I mean, and real quick, what
usually
if
someone's murdered, they say martyr. No, he actually got martyred. Like,
That's, well, they sell martyr to kids that are blown up in buildings and stuff, but in reality, like that, those are martyrs too, I understand, in their culture. But let me ask you this. I heard a rumor, I think it was, I just heard this rumor that, in fact, they had sent a phony diplomatic cable through Oman, and the Iranians had gathered in Khamenei's house, too. Like, that's where they got some of the other top leaders as well, like the defense minister and such. They're in his house. So that's killing under a flag of truce. That is murder under a flag of truce. So
very Jewish.
So yeah, it's not based on strength. I mean, that's important because Americans are retarded as we know, generally speaking, except for my audience, of course, and a few others. There's a small number of not retarded Americans, and we are speaking to them. But they understand that, like, most Americans think it's like super cool to do something like that, to do something real backstabby and Jewy like that, and then also but it doesn't show strength. It's not the strength of U.S. or Israeli intelligence. It's not the strength of our warplanes that did that. It was a trick. And the same with
it
blowing up
your
frigate.
Future negotiations too.
Nobody's ever like going to trust us.
No.
Agreement incapable.
Right now, so like I'm in South Korea, if anybody doesn't know.
Yeah.
They've asked to move the THAAD systems, those thermal high altitude interceptors, out of here over to protect Israel. Now imagine, like, okay, you put these here, which North Korea reacted to, and now you're going to take them away.
Yeah.
To protect Israel. Like, what, your word is nothing.
Right.
And you're being an Indian giver.
Every state except Israel is feeling this. And even the Gulf Arab states, like, you got played so hard. Those fucking filthy retards in those states.
They got played almost. The only faction that got played harder than them is the Kurds. It's just in the nature of the Kurd to get used and betrayed.
Only group with more Fell For It Again awards than Magatards are the Kurds.
Anything lower than Kurds might be Magatards.
Yeah.
But they're like, it's Michael Verwe has this great saying. You go, the propaganda isn't designed to fool thinking people. It's designed to give fools an excuse not to think at all.
Yes.
That sums up MAGA. Like, you just tell them, well, we got to get that. They were about to build a nuclear bomb. No, they weren't.
Yeah. And then there's even worse is the so-called dissident right, which has decided to go from being anti-war and supposedly anti-Jewish to just like licking Zionist balls. And I, you know, that's why I don't consider myself part of anything like that anymore. We're just independent. Outlet now.
Said that about them the whole time.
Hey, man,
time.
Look, I'm going to say, like, only a few personalities did I ever associate with, and I regret it, man. Like, most of them, like Fuentes, I never associated with him. But these people, man, we're just independent podcasts now. We just do our own thing. So whatever. I'm not associated with any of that crap. I don't even call myself right wing. I don't call myself anything like that. So
for as much as he sucks, I think Fuentes is against the war in Iran. People like Spencer and all. They're just total Machiavellian, might makes right.
Also, Richard Spencer's just a traitor that turned over emails of mine to the SPLC. So like everybody should bug him about that. And he's already been getting bugged about it. And he's been running away from chats because I put the receipts out there of like, hey, here's the emails the SPLC had. Here's the emails in my inbox where he was CC'd on, with the only other person on the email was me and my lawyer. So, like, I have potential.
You know how many other people he probably ratted on in Charlottesville?
Everybody. I've got goods on him, but maybe no one else does. But there's the evidence. So anyone ever being his friend, good luck. Anyway, let's talk about something important, though. Let's talk about the war. So I got some questions. I mean, would you just give your strategic rundown? I'll be quiet for a few minutes.
So what's happened is, God, where do you even start? All right, so they kill the Ayatollah, and all I can think, it's hard for me to understand them because I'm not retarded, so I don't think like they
same.
Do.
Been racking my brain.
I think that they actually thought, because these are end timer Christian holy roller, that if we kill the leader, Iran will collapse. Like Bay of Pigs style, which didn't work either. And then there'll be an uprising and we'll get regime change. We'll get a puppet government in, da, 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 da. And there was no plan B for, let's say we kill the Ayatollah and it doesn't collapse. And instead they start firing ballistic missiles and drones at everybody. Then what? They didn't have a backup plan. And that's exactly what Iran did. They hit, they hit the easiest targets, which are the ones adjacent to them that have the least amount of defense because they moved it over to protect Israel.
Right.
So first thing they did is they smacked Bahrain because Bahrain has these vertical like crane systems they use, and they all got destroyed. So those missiles are obsolete because they have no way of prepping them to fire. Then they took out a massive radar in Qatar, like $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And there was a weird thing because there was a fake picture of that destroyed.
Yes, I remember
it was
that.
Destroyed. Yeah. But then they put it out AI slop of or Photoshop slop or whatever. So like a fake thing of a real thing. Very clever. But it was destroyed. That's verified.
Yeah.
Took out that radar system. Took out a CIA hub in Dubai. That was the hotel they hit, and it was not empty rooms. They're not admitting casualties. There had to be.
They're not admitting any casualties. No admission from CENTCOM since Monday, and they're not going to talk about spooks anyway. So, yeah.
We shot our own F-15s down, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. Three times.
Well, that was what I was saying. Like three?
FFOs.
Yeah. I mean, but they had to admit those because those were on tape. Those were on video that everybody saw. So, yeah.
Right. They have to. That's the thing. And there's a lot of AI slop, a ton. And sometimes there's AI slop of stuff that did happen, but there isn't a crisp video of it. So someone just invents it or whatever. Some of that's clickbait. Some of it's disinformation. It's a mixed bag. But these Gulf Arab perfume princes, a lot of them on the Epstein list, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They got raped, like they got rammed.
And
like
not in a way that they
Graham
like.
At a truck stop in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And one thing that no one's talking about, because everyone's talking about the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which happened, I think, on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
It's 26% of oil traffic. Qatar had to cut down its completely turn off its LNG. So did Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Storage tanks are all full and they're filling up in every other country.
They're filling up. But here's the other thing. What about imports? They import 85% of their food.
A lot of
Iran
it from Iran.
Like 90%.
A lot of it from Iran.
Well, they got it from like Brazil, the U.S., wherever. Sometimes Iran, Oman did, but like so, yeah. The UAE, you're talking 80 to 90% of their food.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Qatar, Saudi Arabia around 75-80%, and from far away. So it's all like, oh, just get it from Jordan. They don't have it either.
Right,
that's going to be a problem.
You're
going
to want to drive convoys of food across the deserts of the Middle East to deliver. I mean, you're going to have to do that,
it
right?
Needs to be by boat and. That's not happening.
Man, Yemen hasn't even jumped in yet. The Houthis haven't even jumped in yet. And so you want to, we're going to get through the Red Sea. Good luck.
No, and there, look, if the Saudis get involved, the Houthi will get involved.
I think it's inevitable the Houthi will get involved no matter what, but it's just a matter of time. That's just an asset they're holding in reserve, in my opinion.
Well, Saudi oil refinery was hit by a drone from Shia militia in Iraq. It wasn't Iran. Mm-hmm. It was militia in Iraq, which is plausible deniability for Iran because Saudi Arabia and Pakistan have a defense pact. They go, oh, we didn't do it. These militia groups did it. Yeah. They can't control it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I don't think that's a smart move because if they bomb – and, you know, I can absolutely see the U.S. and Israel bombing pipelines in Iran. They're like, all right, if you do that, then we're going to hit the oil fields in Saudi Arabia.
My understanding is that drone was sort of like a warning because they did hit a U.S. Refinery in Iran in one of the strikes. And I remember seeing among the list of things hit, there was an oil refinery in Iran.
It was tit for tat.
The next day, I saw, they droned Aramco, and I'm like, okay. So
I'm talking about hitting a pipeline, not a refinery. Like, if it escalates to that, then it's like, okay, well, whatever you do, they can do it back.
Well, the rumor is also that they went after the Azerbaijani pipeline, or that's what they're targeting. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
The BTC line that goes through Turkey. I doubt it, but you never know.
Well, if
Iran is just.
If their state continuity is threatened, which I don't think it is anywhere close to being threatened now, then all bets are off with everything. But I don't think state continuity in Iran is threatened at all right now.
It'd just be better to keep Turkey neutral. Like
they're the only country with a real military,
right? and they can actually reach them. Mm. But the U.S. is arming Kurdish groups. The Turks don't like that at all.
Oh, they've already.
But I don't think they understand the Middle East. The guy, the Hegg, Seth, and these people. They don't know. They don't know
one
anything.
Of the
they think they can bring Jesus back.
Yeah, he's a retard. Hegseth is like a shaved ape. He's like a bumbling fucking moron. One of the few pieces of actual decent analysis I saw was in Haaretz from Amos Harel, who just he's Jewish, but he's actually pretty objective about this. And he was saying that there's people in Israel that are like, if we bring the Kurds in, that's going to turn every other group in the region against us, even more so than being on sides with Jews. So now you're on sides with Jews and Kurds. Like, there's no excuse for anybody to side with you now. And that's real dangerous because, Turkey is the only actual strong military in the region other than Iran and Israel, of course. And so, it's better. When I saw that there was a missile or drone strike,
Israel's mostly in air power, though.
Yeah, Israel's ground power. Well, they're now Hezbollah is in, right? So they're getting clapped. Like, how many tanks have gotten clapped? Like 6 or 8 now, and that they've admitted to.
So 3 destroyed, 2 disabled. There may have been some more before I got on this podcast. So, but what they did is they probed and they retreated. So they said we're going into southern Lebanon.
Yeah,
at the border they started getting smacked at Kafar Kali.
Yeah,
which is it's below the Latani.
Yeah,
so y'all can look at the map, but they're not going to do well there. Hezbollah's been planning. I know people in Hezbollah, and the plan was during the last 12-day war, both sides realized the importance of drones. They didn't. They all underestimated how well these things work. Should have looked at Ukraine and Russia and figured that out. But whatever.
Yeah.
And so rather than having to have complex components and things shipped from Iran, like ballistic missiles, it's much easier to slide in drones or to build them yourselves.
Yeah.
And the other thing is some of the SAA weapons from Syria before it fell ended up in the hands of Hezbollah, black markets, Greece bombs. And they had some pretty good, they had much better stuff than Hezbollah. It was a proper military. The problem with Syria is they couldn't even pay their officers. They had no money.
Yeah,
they were broke. The sanctions destroyed them.
The whole
them.
Place was just a mess. It was a splintered mess. And Syria is not even a real country anymore, honestly. It's
gone. But they did have prop.
The Jews were bombing for 5 days. Unopposed, just bombing of every single stockpile in Syria, because obviously you don't want a lunatic, or I don't think he's a lunatic, but he's a scumbag, but his followers are lunatics, like al-Shara, having that. And the Jews don't want that either, because there's already I've heard there's internal dissension inside of Syria where there are factions of ISIS that want to fight Israel, and now they're defecting, and I don't even know what's going on. But it's
good luck doing that with small arms and no air force.
All right, I mean, good luck doing that with trucks, pickup trucks. They'll just get fucking smacked. But I would not care. I would that one. I would legitimately be like, oh,
you can't just hide among civilians. Israel bombed them all. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah, Israel. They also bomb civilians when there's no one hiding among them. So, I mean, they basically openly admitted. They basically openly admitted that their pressure strategy on Hezbollah is kill civilians to make them stop, which did work in the first war in 2024.
Right, they just bombed Beirut.
They bombed civilians until Hezbollah was like, all right, that we can't see more people die. We're gonna come to it.
There's
agreement.
A glaring weakness, though. I'm sure you've seen what it is. There's two that where how they've bitten off more than they can chew. And you can tell by the way the U.S. and Israel are bombing police stations and fire departments and like thermal paint and schools and hospitals. Like,
it's the same target as they have everywhere.
Well, their target packages, their target banks are dry. They can't find these ballistic missiles because they're underground.
I've been commenting about this on my podcast. I have a group chat of guys who are good ex-military, just smart guys, friends that we just talk about this all day. And like, we just go and we theory craft and all this stuff all day about this. Mm-hmm. And we constantly are like, whenever I see them bragging about a big cloud of white smoke in Tehran, I'm like, okay, they probably killed innocent people, but they haven't degraded the Iranian military.
Right.
You know, and
strategically not valuable.
They've hit an empty Basij headquarters or something like that. And maybe some innocent people on the street were killed. Obviously, it's a crime. But until I see them taking out missile launchers and missile bases and drone bases, I'm not impressed. And I saw them bragging about blowing up, you know, fiberglass drone decoys. Obviously, they're decoys because they're sitting out in the open just like they might as well have a kick me sign on them. And then they blew. The best was the Roadrunner painting of the helicopter. Like, it's like,
oh yeah, thermal paint though. It looked real at night.
that's such a great. They did that. I believe they did that with the Tomcats.
Well, it's best
the
they filmed it, didn't notice it still, and then put it on Telegram.
And everybody else noticed it because all you have to notice is like, hey, if a helicopter gets hit by a bomb, you'll expect parts of the helicopter to fly off or blow up or rotors to fall to the ground or fly away or something. And they just were totally stationary. So like, what did you actually hit? So it's like, yeah, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that they're hitting. You see, it looks really impressive because Iran is a dry and dusty country. So when a bomb explodes, you're going to get a huge cloud of smoke. That looks like, well, it took out so much. Well, not really, though. And I haven't seen, I think I saw one claim by the Jews of taking out some missile launchers, and who knows if it was from the last war, if it's new, but even if they took out one, or if they took out three, it doesn't matter. There's hundreds. They don't know where they all are. I mean, when you see the film of those drone bases and missile bases in Iran, they're just like endless corridors filled.
People just figured out too, like they've seen them just shooting out of the dirt. Some of those videos are 10 years old. Mm-hmm. They've been able to do that.
Yeah.
You're not going to find these things. It's a country the size of Western Europe. It's got 92 million people. This isn't Gaza. This isn't a little 2-mile strip with 2 million people.
Think about
this. And even that, with total air supremacy and bombing around the clock, they couldn't finish off Gaza either.
How long? But let's even just talk about launches. How long did it take the IDF to stop launches from Gaza after October 7th? I think if I recall, it took them like at least a few weeks, which is, again, if you think you're going to degrade Iran in that time when, again, and also Lebanon, right? Like the Lebanon war was a couple months, I think, in 2024, and they didn't, Hezbollah is launching now, meaning they always could. They were politically stopped and, you know, they're blackmailed with the lives of innocent people, and they have a political problem in Lebanon with the, you know, the other ethnic groups and the parliament and the way it works and the government, the president of Lebanon being a total pussy, a bitch fucking of America. And so,
and their neighbor being taken over by HTS.
Yeah. And then they have terrorist army in the next neighboring country. So it's a big problem. Lebanon is a whole thing to itself, but right now Hezbollah is like, yeah, we don't care. I believe they announced, like, the president said, like, oh, yeah, the army is going to fight Hezbollah. It's like, yeah, good luck. I doubt that members of the Lebanese army are actually would like to go into battle against Hezbollah. So
no, they made some arrests, but they're kind of looking the other way. They can't enforce it because a lot of Shia are in the army. That's where they get the weapons.
Well, also, army pay in Lebanon is not high. So good luck getting these guys who are not even ideologically committed to fighting Hezbollah to go and risk their lives for that. For like,
it's pathetic that the Lebanese army isn't doing anything when Beirut's being bombed by Israel. I mean, the Lebanese army should
that's
join
your
Hezbollah
capital city, fighting. And you're not defending your own country. Yeah. Instead, you're bitching about people in your country that are actually fighting and blaming them for you getting bombed. I mean, that's why even secular and non-Muslim people in Lebanon support Hezbollah, a lot of them.
party of God.
So
these ballistic missiles and the drones. The drones are sort of underrated. Everyone's talking about the missiles and not so much the drones. But the
drones are like, and they're the
drones are the best ROI, like return on investment, because they're cheap and they do an enormous amount of damage. If you lose a few, it doesn't matter. You can just swarm with drones and you can take out infrastructure. You can take out personnel. Like, they're very effective. They don't have the payload of a missile, but they don't have the price tag of a missile either. And
yeah,
it's so easy to deploy. And these Persian lawnmowers, you know, and you can hear the kvetching and the shelters, you know, every time they hear it. I love the video of where a guy shit himself in the shelter and they're all like gagging.
I was told that was from June, but like, either way, it doesn't matter.
Another person fell down the steps.
Oh, dude, so many injuries of so many of their casualties are of rushing into bomb shelters and panicking and like trampling each other and falling down the stairs and stuff.
Typical neurotic behavior.
Let me ask you this. So as of today, we're basically, its situation hasn't changed. America and Israel are bombing, for the most part, totally ineffective targets. They're also doing assassinations, which shows that their theory of the war is wrong. Assassinating Shia Muslims is not going to stop Shiites from fighting. It's going to make them want to fight harder. So
Iran divided into 14 autonomous zones all the way back in 2005.
Right.
So it doesn't have this pyramid structure they assume. You take out the top and it all falls apart. No, they've got their instructions. They know what they're doing.
Right.
It's like a confederation fight they're fighting.
Yeah.
Very hard to stop. It's not centralized in the way that they think. And they know the most valuable thing they have are these ballistic missiles and drones. And combined with the eye in the sky they have from China, so they can see, you know, they've got the satellite. That is a big deal. Like, it removes the fog of war.
Huge deal.
This is why this is such a huge deal. They know when the Americans and Israelis are taking off. And so they can just pull back into the hole. You can't be seen. They cannot find these things.
That's why there's intense airstrikes, you see the rate of fire from Iran go down. Because they're just waiting until they're done, and then they pop up and fire again, and it's so we know where the situation is of today. We know the basic capabilities of each side. What do you think? Like, how does here's what I've been saying. I said it on Twitter, and I got some good response. This tweet where I said, like, only serious analysts. I mean, if you listen to someone who's just doing U.S. propaganda, just throw it in the trash, right? But if you want to find some, there are some serious analysts out there, various levels of information, whatever. But I'm not taking analysts seriously unless they're asking the question, how does the U.S. end this? Like, what is the U.S. end game? That's the only question that is worth
asking.
What
would constitute a victory?
Yeah.
Or an off ramp?
Yeah. How do we get out of this? That's the only, how does America, there's no victory condition or, and then the question of saving face and things like this comes into it. So let me ask you, what are your theories on this? How does America, like, get out of this? Because I'm racking my brains. I can't. Every time
there
I think
really
of something,
isn't.
I think of, like,
there's
10.
There's no path to victory.
Yeah.
There is no, like, oh, they're going to run out of munitions before they bomb them into submission. They're not, this 90 million people, you can't win that from the air. It's just too many targets. It's too much. You can't.
And our logistics supply lines are so long, so expensive.
I mean, they've got a lot of JDAMs. They do have, like, tens of thousands of those. But you got to get a lot closer to use those, and Iran has those HQ9s, and that's not realistic. As far as Tomahawks and all that, they're going to run out, but they're really going to run out of first or the interceptors.
Yeah,
and then they're going to start getting fucked.
They're going to
start
getting
a drone can come in
so
and get
hard.
You.
And that's going to be a week or two out from now. And
I hope the settlements burn. So I was thinking, what would Iran accept to allow an off ramp? Because they're going to be the ones with leverage.
Yeah,
and so best case scenario for the U.S. is, you know, they can probably destroy most of the Iranian Navy because they have a very powerful Navy versus very weak Navy, and they can blow some stuff up. Say the Ayatollah's gone, nuclear threat's gone, that didn't exist anyway.
Yeah.
Call it a day and pack it up. But Iran's not going to let them allow it. They're going to be like, look, you're lifting sanctions and you're going to remove your footprint from the Middle East. No more bases to it in countries that are adjacent to us. So
So they're going to be, the Gulf is going to be their lake at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be Iran's territory. No more U.S. bases in any of that. Not Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, all that's done.
Yeah.
The U.S. has forfeited its position in the Middle East
to you go started to a war. You can't bitch. I mean, yeah. they'll bitch. They will endlessly.
You
bitch,
had no plan. I mean, you if you really want to send in the army and all that, like it is. Yeah, if you want to take on tens of thousands of casualties, maybe more, and go all out. But there's no public will to do that.
It's they already below 30%.
Like the Marine yelling at the Senate, "We don't want to die for Israel." And this is the most glorious thing ever. Everyone knows that's exactly why we're at war, because of Israel.
That's what's great, because that wasn't always clear to the American public, but now it is, thanks to Trump, who's the biggest. I was
TikTok and X and like the break of Jewish media.
Thanks to us as well. Thanks to people like us who have been spreading the word on this. So before this was going on, I was like, I just had this pit in my stomach for days.
Hey, Mike, if you go back to the first podcast we did on September 11th.
Yeah.
Which is like 9 years ago or something.
Yeah,
I said in the next 10 to 15 years, Israel's not going to make it. I said, they're going to bite off more than they can. Go back and listen to that, you guys. Like I said, because you asked me what's going to happen to Israel. I said the same thing that always happens to them. 110, baby. They're going to have
it's always going to happen. Yeah, the pattern of history doesn't really change. And yeah, I mean, at the time it seemed incredible, but here we are. And frankly, a lot of this was in fact ultimately set in motion by Hamas. Like they sort of started this ball rolling. I mean, would this be happening if not for October 7th? I don't know.
I think Israel orchestrated October 7th. I think
I
think so. I think because Iran was always on the list. And I mean, literally they have a list. It started in Netanyahu's book. And then you hear the Wesley Clark memo and da da da. But this has always been the game. Like, we're just going to get Iraq and then Syria and then, you know, Libya, Sudan, da, da, da. Sudan was divided. Now it's in civil war sponsored by the UAE because Hamidi gets the gold trade goes to the UAE and that's from them. These Gulf Arabs are finished. These little fiefdoms, Bahrain might have a total revolution. This is Shia majority.
Yeah. Well, by a for all we monarchy. Know, they that have because, like, well, probably not at this point, but it's likely because they have now cut off. There's no news out of Bahrain. And people talking about, the Saudis do something against Iran. Well, they're going to have to remove their security forces from Bahrain because we saw the video of all those trucks, those APCs from Saudi Arabia crossing the bridge to Bahrain to try and stabilize the situation because the Bahraini government couldn't handle it.
Oh, they're throwing Molotovs and they're...
Yeah, so we don't really have video anymore because I think they've talk about oppressive dictatorship shutting down the internet. Like,
hold on.
We
the
don't
irony
have
is... It turns out you can get a revolution from air power if it's a small enough state.
Well, I made that post. That was like my most viral tweet in the last few days was when I said, like, the irony is that Iran bombed the oppressive dictatorship into a revolution. And so now the Saudis
it's like judo flipping the...
It's a Uno reverse, man. It's like...
They usually are guilty of their own accusations, but it's like, oh, here's something we can do. No, you can't, but we can.
Now, Bahrain is tiny. Now, also, I believe that at one point it was a property of a Persian Empire property. But whatever, that doesn't really matter. But nonetheless, like, I mean, I saw them yelling Shiite slogans as the drones
Kuwait
were hitting.
Kuwait is teetering, too. You know, these places
what's the
were
Shiite
never
population of Kuwait? A lot of these... See, now, Shiites compared to Sunnis worldwide are not a large percentage, but they're all in the Middle East. Like, there's not really Shiites outside the Middle East. But the Middle East is pretty contested between the two. So
most
like,
Shia live in Iran, of course, and then
Iraq,
Yemen, Iraq. Yeah,
there's like a sizable minority in Saudi Arabia too. There's a Syria is one of the more Sunni
Shia
states,
groups in Syria, and basically the only based Sunnis are some of the ones in Lebanon and some of the ones in Pakistan.
And
the
Palestine.
Rest are all Well, they're forced to be. Their very existence is at stake.
They're right. Like, well, they're largest marked for Arab death. They're targeted for genocide. So, yeah.
Well, traditionally, Israel's biggest problem is Egypt. If you go back to Nasser and Sadat and all that, like, that was their main enemy. But now it's definitely Iran. And they've bitten off more than they can chew. Like, what is their exit ramp?
And that's my question. I don't know.
Have to sacrifice something like, okay, no more footprint in the Middle East and sanction relief, maybe more. It depends.
Yeah, and eventually sanction relief won't even mean so much because China and Russia will just make up the you know, and particularly if Iran runs the Persian Gulf, then what do sanctions even really mean for a country that owns the whole Persian Gulf, you know? Because
they can't.
Point,
they can't ship either. The U.S. will destroy their boats just as easy. The offense is easy for the Navy, but I mean, submarines can take out tankers all day. But that, you know, they want sanction relief. Yeah. A lot of that has been getting out on black markets anyway, but it would, if it was above board, it would help. It would ease things.
The economy
is so stupid to sanction Iran. It's not in America's interest at all.
Well, that's the
thing.
It's
pushing people away from the dollar. It's caused a war, and it's all for Israel.
And there's no good argument otherwise. I mean, people try and talk about, oh, they took our hostages in, you know, in 1979. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, but let's talk about the history of that, right? Let's go back to 1953. Let's talk about the whole history of the conflict. And, and like, none of the reasoning why we mess with Iran makes any sense. And also, like, there's no reason you can't just get over that. Just get over 1979. Okay, let's just, so what? All right, things happen. Like, is that really, like, is, was anyone, like, that's, you're going to hold a grudge
US
about that?
US aided Iraq in an 8-year-long war against Iran.
And if you want to talk about this, yeah, we sponsored a war that killed millions in Iran.
Stuxnet virus, assassinations,
constantly. So right. Mark Levin the other day, that filthy, disgusting Jew, he's like, when the Iranians have killed 1,000 Americans, and it's like, dude, do you know how many Iranians we've killed? Like, this idea that they, that, like, again, this, Americans are the biggest pig-headed people. Like, it's like, just have a little bit of a broader perspective for once. Just try to have a little bit of a broader perspective, look at it from somebody else's perspective. You expect everyone to see things from your perspective. It's total narcissism. Yeah. It drives me nuts. It's driven me nuts since.
Put yourself in someone else's shoes. Oh, no.
That's gay. It's like, it's like, being American is gay.
How many Iraqis did you starve to death? Saddam, shut up.
Well, I will say this, though. The sizable portion of the American population is against this. And now, of course, we're trained by political rhetoric to be against it for entirely selfish reasons, like tax dollars, which, frankly, when people want something politically, they don't care about tax dollars. So, like, I get annoyed with that. Like, let's just be honest about, like, the morality of this, right? Tax dollars, sure, go ahead. I'm not going to be ever making tax dollar friggin', I mean, maybe it's like the 50th thing down the list.
Gasoline prices or something.
Yeah,
like
it's, oh, our gas prices are tax dollars. Yeah, well, yeah. It's going to affect everybody but us, because we're pretty energy independent, or can be if we choose. So, like, America actually is this island. America can't ever be assaulted because we have a giant moat around us and we have lots of oil. So, like, we could be just an independent country. We could be a peaceful, wealthy, independent country, and we're not. And it's because of Jews. And it drives me fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Well, the irony is, it's still safer to be in Dubai or Abu Dhabi than Chicago or many
other
cities.
And like I was saying, when they bombed the second school in Iran, it's like, oh, that just looks like the schools in Newark, New Jersey, where I grew, like right next to where I grew up.
That haven't been bombed.
They haven't been bombed. They just look like that. And look, I lived in New York City for 20 years. Walk by any public school in New York City except for the super rich
joggers.
Ones. Yeah, except for the super wealthy one. Even also the ones from, you know, other ethnic groups as well, the Puerto Ricans and such. But like,
you see the schools with bars on the windows and metal detectors and things. This shouldn't.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that in Japan or Korea ever.
Well, no,
like, people sleep on the trains. The little kids go to school on their own.
People sleep in the trains in America too. It's just not.
But
it's not the same thing, right? It's like the smell, the stench of urine, and Look, I mean, living in New York City for all these years, it's such a divided society, right? Like, you see like the Bronx, and you see the glittering Midtown Manhattan, and it's just totally separate worlds. But and like within a few miles of each other. But but that's what I'm saying. It's like, you literally go to the Bronx, walk around, look at the public schools there. They look exactly like that bombed out school in Iran.
Very interesting what. Yeah, this thing can go a lot of different directions depending on how effective the U.S.-Israeli bombings are.
Yeah.
They're not going to go in on the ground. If they use a nuke, that's a whole other problem. But let's say they don't nuke.
Yeah.
What is their face-saving way out of this? Like, Trump has committed midterm suicide already.
Yeah.
With the, you know, with these Epstein files, and then you know, this war that nobody wanted is clearly for Israel,
and
like,
the,
they
you
got
know,
over barrel.
You're watching J.D. Vance try and distance himself from it, right? Because he wanted to be the president, right? And so he's like, the only thing he'll say is, "We're not going to be." He's now extending. He's like, "We're not going to be in a years long war." It's like, we were supposed to have a days long war.
Have bombs.
This was supposed. I was like, "Yeah, no shit, we're not going to be in a years long war." That's reality. But again, we also just. you know, there's a lot of people now I'm seeing who don't really get the military analysis. They don't understand the capabilities, and they maybe don't understand the map very well. But they know politics. So they'll say, like, well, the next step is going to be a ground invasion. It has to be. I'm like, okay, so we have Starfleet beaming technology now. We've developed teleportation technology.
It would take, you know how long it would take them to mobilize all the armor and infantry?
First of all, mobilizing takes a year.
You're months away.
Yeah,
you're too late for that.
Yeah.
And where are you going to put them? In northern Iraq, I suppose. You can't.
And try amphibious landing? Good luck.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, where are you going to stage from, right? Where are you going to stage from? So, like, that's a thing. And so the best they had was this rumor I heard about the Kurdish militia moving in. But then that turned out to be at least false as of yesterday. It could still happen. I don't know. But I heard another rumor that the Kurds were just stealing money from America. They were just taking
money and weapons.
They were just taking pallets of cash. And it was, like, not doing it. Like, okay, thanks. Yeah, we're not actually invading. What are you going to do? Oh, you can't do anything right now because you're in the middle of a war.
You got to look at the geography of Iran. If you can't get an upstart of people already in, which that kind of got botched in January.
Yes.
Forget about it going across those mountains.
Well, I considered the rumor of the Kurdish invasion to be an admission that they don't have any more or any significant assets on the ground in Iran anymore. And then the Iranians put out some news yesterday or day before about the cell that they had arrested, and they had a bunch of cash and weapons and stuff. But it was like 11. They had like 11 Kalashnikovs or something. It's like that's not a very large terror cell. That would, even if they did an attack, they would have just been taken out eventually. And, you know, so that's not gonna affect anything. Maybe
it's,
they've got a few people, but I think
civilians.
That they're, yeah, I think that probably, and
NBK,
it would have,
there's some factions they could try to.
They're probably scared
ignite,
though.
But
you know?
Yeah, Iran is like, dude, this is their existence. They're in it to win it.
Right.
They will suppress protests. Like, they will bring the hammer down.
Yeah.
Like Thor. You're not going to.
They're not going to do, like, they're not going to be pussyfooting around if there's any public unrest at this point. And there's no reason for them to be. And I don't really care about America clutching pearls about any of that. Like, I found that to be the most hypocritical crap. Like, and like, oh, they're killing protesters. Did you see the video from the ground where they were engaged in running gun battles through the streets with the police? Like, that's not a protest. That's terrorism. Like, sorry.
They set fire to mosques and subway stations. That's
right.
Terrorism.
Right.
Not a protest.
Yeah, that's not. And
not
what,
even
America wouldn't tolerate
protest.
That stuff. I mean, except for the George Floyd protests where they did sort of tolerate that stuff. But so, all right, let's get back to, like, I forgot
about St. Floyd.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, it was funny because the Iranian said, who are America's heroes? Like Spider-Man and SpongeBob. We'll add George Floyd to that. So now Spider-Man, SpongeBob, and George Floyd. That's who we die for in America. But seriously, though, let's think about this. I have actually been racking my brains about exit strategy for the U.S., and every time I come up with a theory, like, there's 10 objections to it. So, like, I'm at a loss. I guess maybe we'll just have to wait.
Well,
to
think
see.
Of the things they have to offer. So, right. Two of the things are what I said, like removing your footprint from the Middle East. That would be huge.
Yeah.
And lifting all sanctions. That's a big one.
Right.
What else do they have to offer? You can start making demands to, like, get rid of Israeli settlements, recognize Palestine. The list gets more and more, you know, demanding as you add demands. But listen, if Iran has carte blanche to just pick its targets because the God's chosen lunatics are out of interceptors. They're going to have to accept the demands, whatever they are.
That's what because I remember with the 12-day war, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, called 12-day war for lack of a better title for it.
Right.
A lot of people were sort of like, well, Israel will never take an L. I'm like, I think they will. And they eventually did. And it was when they had taken too much punishment. They just didn't want to get punished anymore. And also, they were lying in that war about air dominance as well. You know, they were flying up over Azerbaijan and shooting. They weren't really entering Iranian airspace then either, as far as we know. The only planes really to penetrate airspace have been like B-1s and B-2s. We're not going in with jets, as far as I know. So the Iranian air defense is not, you know, their air force isn't that great, and their air defense, maybe eventually we could suppress it, but, like, we haven't done so yet. But nonetheless, even without any of that, we can't really take out their ballistic and drone capability. So that's the problem. I mean, Marco Rubio basically said in his...
But people need to understand, too, is like, okay, you're bombing buildings in Tehran and stuff. The air defense is in the mountains as well, protecting ballistic missiles, not urban areas, because they're not strategically significant in a military sense. So their AQ-9s and stuff, like, they have enough air defense that you can't just sit there and loiter around. So they can send in the Reaper drones and stuff, and those are getting shot down.
Those are getting taken out, yeah.
Yeah, some F-15s have been taken out because they're not stealth. The stealth equipment has not been taken out yet, but that's because they're keeping their distance. They're using glide bombs.
B-2s fly so high that, like, you know, but other than that, yeah, that's, like, the best, you know, and they're using gravity bombs.
They come with escorts, but, like, the Raptors and the F-35s and all this stealth thing, they haven't got any of those yet. But they don't have enough payload for a country that size covered in mountains, even if they had no air defense.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have enough munitions, period.
Think about all the munitions it took to level Gaza.
They wouldn't be asking other countries for more ammo if they had endless ammo,
right?
Other than JDAMs, you know, that's how they have. They wouldn't be asking Spain for airspace and refueling and refitting if they didn't have to back up past Cyprus, right?
Right, right. So which is, that was a very funny situation there with them.
Oh, Spain. Did you hear Trump, by the way? He's like, we're going to end all trade with Spain.
I did hear that. Good luck. I mean, well, good luck for the, what about all the companies who do that? Is that their business in America? What are they going to say about that, right? Like, you know, and also additionally, like, get Spain out of NATO. Okay, fine.
52 million people against you in Spain.
Well, the Spanish would be like, okay, get Spain out of NATO. They'd be like, yes, thank you. Finally, now we don't have to pay any money to this stupid organization. And guess what? No one's going to attack us because we don't have any enemies.
Right. Yeah.
Because Spain tries to be friendly with people because it's a decent country.
What a twist of history! Spain is the rational, non-imperialist player.
I mean, well, you know,
they are
right now. Yes. Well, I have this idea, you know, once countries go through that phase, I think they become more rational. Maybe it'll eventually happen to America at some point. I don't know. Could be. Who knows? But yeah. So, I mean, I just don't know how it can end, and it's not going to end with Iranian regime change. I mean, the New York Times reporting that I was reading yesterday, it just makes me sick. I'm like, this is just such a lie. They're saying, oh, Trump's biggest problem. This is the New York Times, by the way, which is a historically lying newspaper when it comes to wars. Everybody remembers Judith Miller. They're like,
William Sapphire too.
Yeah. Yeah, rest in peace. They were like, Trump's biggest problem is that that he might be killing too many Iranian leaders for anyone that will deal with him to arise. And I'm like, they haven't killed any leadership since the first day. This idea that they're like picking the leadership off. I mean, that's what everyone in America thinks. Everyone in America thinks we're just picking their leaders off and that they're in total disarray. They're about to collapse. Yeah. Yeah.
This is how these people think.
Yeah.
If the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll just be replaced by they've already like pre-selected who goes where, you know, if this person dies.
Yeah.
Person
No, they have this very redundant thing, but they also, as far as I know, haven't got, maybe they've gotten a few people, but they haven't gotten anyone significant since the very first second of the war, which is a strike on the Ayatollah's house.
They've really had nothing significant other than a ship that was not involved.
Which was not in combat. Yeah. I was going to say that frigate. Right. Yeah. So, okay, so that I literally did a tweet this morning where I said there's only been two successful strikes. The initial hit on the Ayatollah's house, which was the result of duplicity, not strength, and then the hit on the frigate, which was part of some like exercise with the Sri Lankan Navy or something like that, right? It was like it was in port in I think Sri Lanka, and then they were not equipped for combat, and it's just shooting a ship, right? Like again, I know that they can take out ships. That's probably the weakest point of the Iran military, right? They haven't taken out that drone carrier they have though, as far as I know. They have not hit that, which is...
Well, there's a lot of water mines and other things. And the other problem is, and some people might not know this, but the Strait of Hormuz is quite shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the larger submarines and things can't get in there.
Yeah.
You can get mini subs and all. So it just the geography, once again, the geography itself is on Iran's side.
Yeah.
It favors the type of thing. And a lot of Iran's anti-Navy isn't their Navy. It's land turrets.
They're shooting. I mean, I don't even think that the tankers that they've shot have been shot by ships. They've been shot from the land, which is like shooting
fish in a
barrel.
They can keep it straight close by that, too. So they're like, oh, let's go get the land batteries. Okay. Well, they just pull up. These things are mobile. And a lot of them go underground. Iran has been prepping for 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And they know how the empire works. They saw its weaknesses. They know it's going to be an air and artillery only, you know, the gunboats and planes, because America can't stomach the casualties. They won't send in the army. The Israelis sure as hell aren't going to do it. The Israeli diaper force can only shoot from a distance.
Right. So the other thing is, what do you think about this claim of Trump that we're going to like escort ships through the strait? And then I think the Navy was like, yeah, nope, no, we're not.
Okay. Look. All right. I'll say that with all the problems that Iran doesn't need to make a blockade where they just sit there like a checkpoint and let this boat in that. And that. All they have to do is create enough chaos that the insurance premiums go up to like 75% and it's over de facto because nobody wants. They're just going to wait it out till the war's over rather than risking losing a whole boat and the insurance being
That's
so
already
high.
Happened.
So Trump's like, we'll pay the insurance premiums. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, we're going to escort you and pay for the insurance, and Americans without health care are going to pay for it. I don't think so.
Well, also, even so, the boats still know they'll get fired on. So
it's like, 2 kilometers worth of boats. You can't – Iran only has to hit one or two of them.
Right.
They only have to get lucky once. Trump has to pitch a no-hitter.
They have to make sure none of them get hit, and we could also then hit Navy ships, and that's like the – I mean, I saw Daniel Davis was like flipping out when he heard that Trump had said that because he was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, yeah, he reminds me of the scene in that movie that everyone clips of Hitler where he's moving around invisible armies on the map.
Right, yeah.
Although just the 8th Division, that's not there, sir. Right. They're like, well, we'll just escort the ships through the strait. Can we do that? Like, what civilian idiot came up with this idea? Like, no.
I think it was maybe might have been Trump, given that he also was pitching it like a pay-for-play scheme, which is the kind of thing he loves to talk about, because he loves to talk about making other countries pay us. And there's a segment of Americans that are super impressed with that. It's just MAGA-tards, right? They think, oh, yeah, yeah, make them give us money. And it's the same thing with his dumb tariffs.
He's such a Yankee real estate bozo. So part of what they did when they captured Maduro is they paid off the honor guard, and there was this $50 million reward. So they took it, and then he didn't pay.
So oh, you didn't pay it?
No.
He's
like, what are you going to do about
it? He's such a wigger.
he's just a wigger. He's a Yankee, man. It's just like,
hey, no, I take that personally because I'm a Yankee. There's a lot of Yankees that are smart and good people. Trump is a wigger.
He's both. He's like when someone – okay, Yankee doesn't mean everyone in the North. It's like not everyone in the South's a redneck. It's a term that's like the kind of sleazy, you know, like Trump. He's a Yankee.
I've identified as a Yankee, though, for a lot of my life. So
so that's your fault.
Well, whatever.
Hey, I'll admit I'm a redneck too, but
right. So I don't have a problem with rednecks. I don't care. There's like redneck
a lot
is
of
as
rednecks
redneck
in Kentucky and Pennsylvania and stuff. They're in the North.
Redneck is as redneck does, and it's I think the same as Yankees. Mm. But so I consider like Trump to be a particular kind of. He's more of a Jew than anything. Let's be honest.
I have an inner redneck, like that uncouth style. When if I get mad enough, I go right back to Carolina roots and just
well,
hit somebody.
Right you've hand, heard you me know? Drop into a New York accent, right? I can do that. So,
it's in there.
Well, you are. Well, it's funny because my cousins from the Midwest always used to ask me to talk like a New Yorker because they think it's hilarious. I'm like that. And if I get angry or drunk, it's like I'll just start. It'll come out. But in any case, I think Trump is more of a Jew than anything because of the way he thinks and the way he and his family are Jewish. Like, you know, so
they converted their lost souls with the Kushner clan.
Yeah, they basically forfeited.
Maybe
their
he's
souls.
Like Steve Bannon. I'll just drop the Christian part on Christian Zionist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Something we've also seen about. We've seen these lunatic Christian Zionists. That's another element that we've seen that Hegseth is. I mean. Hegseth is a drunk, womanizing, drug abuser, whatever, woman abuser. So he's a dirtbag, but dirtbags always run to the church when they have
but
no friends
left. But on a scale of 1 to Mike Huckabee, how Christian Zionist is Hegseth?
Oh, I mean, Mike Huckabee seems like he actually believes it. I don't know.
He's a 10. He's a whole total holy roller in times where Christian
doesn't
believe in dinosaurs.
Well, I've seen Hegseth talking about making speeches saying we're going to destroy Al-Aqsa and we're going to rebuild the temple. And he has been doing this for a long time. However, he's doing it for mercenary reasons. He's doing it because he expects to get advancement from it, right? He's getting money, he's getting prestige, he's getting power, he's getting women, he's getting drugs, he's getting alcohol, you know, all the things he likes, you know, except in unreasonable quantities. Like, I don't mind alcohol and women, but, like, you know, in reasonable quantities for a single person.
Well, women you win over with charm, not the kind you pay for.
Or abuse. He's raping women at CPAC and whatnot, so, you know, and everyone knows that that's going on, so.
So you say, like, an 8?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know about... See, the thing is, I would say like a 1 in terms of what he actually believes, but in terms of actions he's willing to take, he's a 10, you know? So, and...
He's tattooed crosses and stuff all over his body. I think he's not an atheist or anything. He's not pretending completely.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, like, there's a lot of e-Christianity going on where people LARP, so I who knows.
True.
But and he loves to show you those tattoos, so yeah, he's LARPing somewhat. But he has staffed a lot of these lunatics. And in my opinion, what's funny is that it's actually a Jew who's trying to put a stop to it because he wants the American military to function. This guy Mikey Weinstein, who's like the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, he doesn't like the fact that there's these lunatic, like, bloodlust Christian Zionists in the command, because these soldiers are bitching to him, like, this is destroying morale in our unit, because our commander is coming out like a shit-eating grin on his face, like this apocalyptic, like he's having apocalyptic visions. It's like, wait, this is supposed to be military command. Yeah, right.
See that?
Yeah, right. And then that woman that speaks in tongues and talks all that weird shit, like, you've probably seen that video of the Trump's evangelical faith advisor, who she's talking about, like, angelic forces from Africa. It's just like, yo, you like, I will tell you this though.
You sound like Candace Owens.
Most people in America hate that shit. Okay. That's like 20% of the population. And everyone else is like Homer Simpson backing into the hedge when anybody like that comes around. Like, if there's someone like that at a party or someone like that at a family gathering, everyone's
on a scale of 1 to Candace Owens, how crazy is she?
Oh, I think she's as crazy. I mean,
just as crazy.
Yeah, Candace Owens doesn't speak in tongues. Candace Owens doesn't speak in tongues. I mean, she sounds like she does sometimes.
She's pretty out there, though.
Yeah. Well,
they had a maroon shirt, an Egyptian.
I don't. I have not really been keeping up with that because I just don't take that stuff. I don't. I'm like just glad that she's causing a problem. So I'm just laughing that she's causing a problem.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, for the longest time, they monopolized the retards, and it's like, oh no, we got our own retard, Charlotte.
Yeah, no, it's like the retard, like, using retards has backfired, and I'm perfectly happy to watch that happen and just watch it all burn. I just think it's, I don't care.
There's nothing, watching Tel Aviv on fire is like nutting on titties.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, there's nothing better.
More,
and,
more
and
that.
While watching conservatism implode, it's all great. Like, it's the best. So, yeah, I mean, I don't like to be excited
just
about war.
Themselves. Before the war started, I knew it was going to happen. I've been saying they're going to go to the war with Iran. It's inevitable. Doesn't matter what we do. But in the back of my head, not even in the back of my head, I verbalized it. Like, I want them to do this. I'm like, go ahead. Do it. Because
I have friends like that. I was sort of
solution.
I was wanting it to
the Israel
not
problem that wasn't physical.
Oh yeah, no, Israel must be wiped off the map physically. There's no.
They need that whole gene pool needs to be erased. There's no other. You can't reason with these psychopaths.
Right.
They fucking shot kids that went to food trucks. Yeah. Like, they lured them.
No, they set up an elaborate. Not just shot them. They set up an elaborate system to make sure it kept happening. Like, they orchestrated it. You know, just like the claimed so-called camps that did that to them, like, they actually do that shit in real life. Like, they actually created real death camps. And so it's like, yeah, it's disgusting. These people are the worst. And so, yeah, I understand
celebrated
that feeling.
It too.
Oh, they think it's funny.
At least with Americans.
They think it's funny.
You have to lie to them, right?
You have to lie to Americans. Yeah. Americans won't believe.
But Israelis, they're like.
Well, that school in Iran, right? Away. Like. American, even Pete Hegseth runs away from that. He won't admit to it. He gets angry if a journalist asks him about it, but he won't admit to it, because if you admit to the American people, we hit it. We actually double tapped the girls' school. We didn't just hit it once. We hit it twice. And it might have been the Israelis that hit it. Like, that's the only question. But there are coalition partners. It's the same military at this point. Same.
Wouldn't be there without Israel anyway.
Yeah. And all their equipment comes from us. It's the same military at this point. We've actually united the two militaries. There's no, and it used to be that was considered politically risky for America to do that, but they've, like, Trump has thrown all that shit to the fucking wind, right? Like, when we used to bully Arab countries to join coalitions and stuff, and they, the deal was the Israelis wouldn't show their face, and you know, but it's like, now it's just like, Trump has just thrown all that away, and I in some sense you love to see it, but in another sense it's like. Well, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Like, I can't believe that they're doing it. And that just shows you, in a way, it shows you that that element of Jewry that is short time horizon, low IQ, is the element of Jewry that is the one that controls Donald Trump, or, you know, how much he's controlled, how much he likes it, how much he's part of it. I don't know. But
I think a little bit was a victim of their own success.
Yeah.
They flattened Gaza in front of the world, and there was no there's no sanctions put on Israel.
No one had any balls to do it, so they thought they could do anything. Yeah,
and they did that pager trick to Hezbollah, and I think they assassinated the president of Iran.
Oh yeah, they killed him. Yeah,
the helicopter. Yeah, and then it was just like one win after another. Even ISIS took over Syria, which they've been trying to do for 11 years, and boom, in 12 days they got that. So they're like, oh yeah, on to Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had,
and also they had killed various Iranian. They killed Soleimani with not any response.
Killed Soleimani. They had the Stuxnet virus. They assassinated. They killed a bunch of officers. They had a great sneak attack on Iran in June. So they thought, next time.
Yeah, next. They thought, well, it's unfortunate that the initial sneak attack trick worked yet again, but this time I don't. And you know, they're saying, like, I'm seeing CENTCOM bragging, Iran is lying about everything, and they're like, their rate of fire has gone down like 73%. I'm like, well, yeah, they did a very big initial blast and now they're conserving because they're expecting this to go on, so like they're still firing at will.
Because there was a weird thing, there was a 4-hour stretch without bombing.
I remember that.
And I think what that was a backroom deal with Iran let commercial flights leave Dubai and Qatar and stuff. Like, all right, get them out of there.
Okay.
I think that's what that was.
I remember when that was going on. I was wondering, and there was also a lot of news of bombings inside of Iran going on then. Another thing that makes people mad is that no one wants to see bombings in Iran. Like, no one cares about that, right?
No one's sharing that, right?
So you get, like, I'll see sometimes as blasted people, like, responding to tweets and posts on Telegram, like, what about the videos of bombing of Tehran? And I was like, no one gives a shit about that. No one wants to see that.
I just put that shut the fuck up Jew meme under it.
People want to see Israel and like these fucking filthy Gulf sheikhs getting bombed. People love seeing like Dubai get hit, like the Satan.
People love
den of Satan.
Comeuppance, man. It's like Satan's, you guys sponsored ISIS.
Yeah, no one likes to see the powerful beating down on the weak. People want to see the powerful get it on the chin. They want to see,
they want to see the righteous win against evil.
Yeah,
like they're fight. This is the outcome of this war is really the future of the planet.
Yeah,
it's not an exaggeration. Like,
if you could remove this
fucking cancer that has cost us trillions of dollars and led to all this mayhem for my entire life, like if Israel would fall, this could be the beginning of the end for them. You could have a standard of living like I do in East Asia.
Right.
Like, shit would work, you know.
America that could be Switzerland from sea to shining sea.
We could,
yeah. Without Jews, yeah. Without this Jewish influence. Without these Zionist Jewish influence,
like,
controlling
one day,
our complete...
Everyone will have a Japanese toilet. Like,
right. We could all have a toilet and a bidet.
Yeah.
No.
You could have, like... Well, Your bridges, your roads, your healthcare, your schools, like, everything's fucked
up. I mean, America is a
US.
Rich enough Airports country that we could be good. We could be an independent, wealthy, peaceful country, friends with the world, and
so
have a great
Canada,
a
like,
great culture and society. And
yeah.
We don't, and the reason we don't is because we are controlled by Jews.
Yep, your open border, like all your problems. All your problems are from
which is
this
why
person.
Like I see stupid white nationalists come out and talk about like, oh, I'm a brown, you're rooting for a brown people. I'm like, shut up, you're retarded. Like, you particularly should be rooting for the Jewish element to be removed or to be defeated in some way. And I've often said, remember Sven made a post where he said, like, oh, you want a white America, you can't do that until you free Palestine. And all these white nationalists like flipped the fuck out and they're like, what are you talking about? Like, it's like, all right, then you guys are retarded.
We're brown Muslims.
You have been psyoped by Jews. I just call them like...
How many times have you been canceled off social media or payment processor by Persians?
Right. How many times have they called you honky? How many times... Yeah, I mean, no one cares about that, but you know what I mean. How many times they called you privileged?
None.
Right? They don't care.
How many times... I've never been canceled by Iranians.
No. And there was like the Ayatollah
wasn't
was...
debanked by Iranians.
I saw some people... We're bitching because the Ayatollah made a tweet about Charlottesville. And I'm like, okay. But also, like, our entire government was bitching about that. Why shouldn't they? Just like I'm seeing Michael Tracy's going nuts because Dr. Morandi is talking about Epstein's army. He's, what the hell? So, okay, so that's all it took for you to become a neocon, Michael. And it's like, let's assume that, like, it's all propaganda. why wouldn't the Iranians? I know that's a retarded assumption, it's but like not it's not propaganda. But why wouldn't the Iranians just exploit this?
How the fuck did I have this list out before they put it out?
Right? Oh yes, because I remember
because it's true. Yeah,
no, right. We're gonna get into that in the second hour. We're coming up on the hour, so we can take a break and then we can do the. I'll split this into two. So the second part will be, you know, you guys that want to hear the Epstein stuff.
Yeah, it's a weird segue, and just in case I was.
Yeah, this is a good segue. So Michael Tracy is a good segue. He's bitching because Dr. Amirandi, who, you know, let's be honest, he's a spokesman for the Iranians. Oh, yeah. Propaganda. Oh, like, you don't do propaganda, Michael? Like, you're not a spokesman for Alan Dershowitz, Michael? I mean, that's my theory on him. I think he's
getting... of Alan Dershowitz.
I think Dershowitz is the one paying him. I mean, I think he's getting paid, and I think it's Dershowitz paying him. And the reason is because his narrative is so similar to Dershowitz, and he's had Dershowitz on his program and such like that. Could be wrong, but who knows. He certainly is very friendly to Alan Dershowitz.
Alan Dershowitz is a liar. He changed his story three times. We'll get into that.
Oh, yeah, he's all about it. So, yeah. But yeah, Tracy is angry because Dr. Mirandi said Epstein's army. It's like, this is smart. That's actually smart on multiple levels. One, it's true, and it also causes problems.
Even if it wasn't, so many people believe it. Because there are exaggerations in the files.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a war,
why shouldn't Iran exploit that propaganda angle? You're essentially saying it's like no fair. Right.
Well, so funny. They only raped 14-year-olds, not like 10. They did rape 10-year-olds, but if it's 14, that's enough.
It's like I made a promise to myself. Andrew Anglin years ago came on my podcast and started making these arguments, and after that, I was like, I will never entertain. I mean, we were like, Sven and I were like looking at each other like, Weave is Jewish. Anglin is not Jewish. Weave was Jewish. Who was running the Daily Stormer was a Jew. Also friends with Roger Stone and probably and apparently in the Epstein files. Or at least mentioned by Epstein. I think Epstein actually called him a lunatic, though, which is accurate. But I thought after that, I was like, all right, we're kind of done with Daily Stormer. I'm not sitting here. I'm not talking to Ephebophilia bros on my podcast. Like, that's not going to happen. We don't do that here. Like, I'm not.
Weird thing. Fuentes and them were defending it, too.
Why I've just written them off completely.
Dude, it's disgusting, dude. They were selling quarter zips and stuff. Like, this isn't funny jokes or anything.
No, it's not funny. It's not cool. That's why I don't give a shit if Fuentes is now like against the war. But he's just positioning himself. He'll change his spots.
He just sees which way the wind's blowing. But yeah, the thing is, like, he has said himself, he wants to marry a 16-year-old when he's 30.
Yeah, 16-year-old boy.
Like all just jokes.
I'm pretty sure he's gay. Because I remember then he would deny. Yeah. He also would deny saying, "Oh, everyone says I want a child bride." But like, you don't want any bride. You're a fucking fag. Anyway,
I know people have been to the like IRL events.
Dude, there's all kinds of faggot shit that goes on there.
It's gayer than Lindsey Graham in a truck stop with a choir boy.
It's gayer than Lindsey Graham's ladybugs. Anyway,
yeah, as straight as a boomerang.
we're gonna take a quick break here, and we'll be back for hour two. So thanks everybody, and subscribe to TRS.